The fourth Tuesday of each month. Let's see, that would be one, seven, eight. Yes, we get caught up with the superintendent of the MCCSE, and it is our great friend, the doctor, Jeff Oswald, checking in with us today. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Mike?
Well, we're up here on the fourth floor, close to the sun, but the air condition is ripping in a good way.
Yeah.
We are nice and cool. Thank you to all of our building supervisors and everybody else. How are you guys doing with the hotness in all of your? Well, you got plenty of buildings to take care of there as well. Everything good?
That's right. Yeah, things are well. Our maintenance and facility crews, they do amazing work. They keep our HVAC systems well maintained. A lot of preventative maintenance, and we know when we have these high pressure times when it's extremely cold or extremely hot. It does tax the system. So all reports are that while it is definitely straining on the system, it is keeping up to the best of its ability, and we haven't had any breakdowns or any need to close any schools. So we're maintaining it. We're, of course, altering some of our after-school practices. The IHSA has guidelines based upon a heat index, particularly when it's at 104 or higher. And we're definitely adjusting some of our middle-level outdoor activities. So really just in recognition to keep our kids safe. And, we know this is an extreme situation for the next few days. So we're just trying to be patient with everyone else.
Yeah, that's all you can do is be a little patient. And it's tough when the temperatures are in the mid to upper 70s at nighttime. There's just no relief to cool anything off. Well, the last time I spoke to you, we were getting ready for the school year to kick off on Wednesday, the second day of August. The doors flew open. You flew around to a bunch of spots. How was your first day? What did you see? And how are things here? Oh, almost 3 weeks in.
Yeah, so this is my third year to have the opportunity to be a part of the start of MCCSE school year. And, this each year gets better. We were fully staffed in transportation. We had alternate or sub bus drivers on reserve. Our on-time delivery rate was significantly higher, very minimal delays, new technology used for parents to track. Of course, then as far as teachers go, we were nearly fully staffed unless we had, a last-minute resignation here or there. And then in terms of our support staff, I mentioned bus drivers, but our food service workers, our maintenance workers, our office professionals, paraprofessionals, again, just a high staffing level. So, we opened, and it was a great opening. And on my first day, I am out in the schools at the beginning of the day, middle of the day, and the end of the day, circle back to the office to touch base with everyone to make sure there isn't any challenges or obstacles that need addressed. But it's been a great start to the school year. I was actually just out in the schools yesterday, and the students are quick to count. Like, so today is our 20th day. So we already have 4 weeks of school in, and things are good.
Well, that's off to a great start. And, yeah, we can control what we control, but we can't control the uncontrollables like the weather or anything else.
Deep thoughts right there.
That is deep thoughts, buddy. And I noticed that the corporation posted on their Facebook page, no middle school football games tomorrow or Thursday due to what we have in store. And that's not fun. Today we're okay. I don't want to say it's great, but it's better than it was yesterday. We've not reached triple digits in the heat index just yet. And we just might not. So
are you telling me you're going out for a run after work?
No, I'm going to a volleyball at Bachelor Middle School. My daughter plays on the eighth grade team.
Hey, listen, as a former volleyball coach, middle school volleyball coach,
is that true?
I did. I coached middle school volleyball for 2 years. I actually enjoyed it. So it's been some time ago. It was before rally scoring.
Oh, and that was some time ago.
And those new what's the name of the rotating position?
Libero.
Can't even think of the name of. Yes, I can't even say it. So things have changed, but nonetheless. Yeah, I guess if you're an indoor sport in the fall, maybe there are times when it's benefited. When I was a coach, it was back when most of the gyms were not air conditioned, and I just remember being super hot, riding those buses to those away games and the unair conditioned gyms. But now I think maybe volleyball is the sport to be in. this week.
Well, you know how the bus's air conditioning works. You roll down the window and drive faster. That's how the air conditioning
puts your head out the window.
The dog might have it. The dog might have it right. Well, speaking of buses, you mentioned it in there in your remarks about the new way to track things that are going on, the RFID cards. Where did that idea come from, and how has that implementation been going?
Well, it's been going well, and you know, it's really just an update to the traditional student badges. It has definitely more the barcodes that are more readable. It's easy for the students, and the idea is that we plan to roll those out for lunch purchases, for example, for other attendance things, just a one-stop shop. Right now, there's kind of a backlog. You know, we serve more than 10,000 meals a day. And so students stop, they enter a PIN number into a little keypad. So we're trying to update our efficiencies. And with the RFID card, student can tap that when they enter the bus. And so not only does a parent know where their child's bus is, but they also know when their child boards a bus and when their child departs a bus. That can be really helpful for us, especially the beginning of school year with our, you know, 5- and 6-year-old bus riders. Should they get off at the wrong stop, we can put some alarms on there to notify the driver. We also will know where that student got off the bus. We also know more easily when a student gets on the wrong bus, particularly, again, at the beginning of school year when people are still learning their routines. So, you know, parents still have the ability to track the location of a bus, but now they can also identify when their child boards a bus or disembarks. I guess disembarks is the right word. Alights from a bus, maybe that's the right word. You know, it's just more. We're trying to put more and more information in real time in the hands of our families. You know, it's something. If you've flown recently, there's something kind of reassuring when you get that little text that said your bag was just scanned and was put onto the belly of the plane. And so, I think maybe we're providing some of those reassurances for families again that elect to get into that level of detail regarding transportation of their children.
Well, that is, and then the card, using it for everything helps as well. Instead of having 5 different cards punching a number, it goes quicker. Everything goes quicker, okay. quicker, and quicker.
By the way, I do want to add on our busing. You know, we now have 14 electric buses.
I was going to ask you about that. You're looking to get some more.
Yeah, we will have 23 by the end of the year. And each bus, of course, there's tremendous environmental benefits in terms of the reducing our carbon dioxide and emissions, but nonetheless carbon monoxide and some of the emissions. But also each bus, we save about $6,000 in diesel. And, of course, we're generating our own energy with the new solar canopy. So really a lot of positive things on that. We get great feedback from our drivers. We had an all-electric summer. And so, yeah, we're really on the forefront of that. And I believe, I know we have more electric school buses than any school district in Indiana right now. So we're proud of that.
How is your bus corral going? You told me you were building something over there over the summertime. That's where we're going to charge everything, put some solar panels up there, the whole nine yards?
Yeah. Take a drive. You can see it from North Drive or Miller Drive, either from the north or the south of our transportation lot. You'll see a large solar canopy. We can park 48 buses under there. That canopy is about 530 feet long, 90 feet deep, and it'll hold 48 buses. And on top of that are all the solar panels that we need to charge all of our electric buses. So we'll be running those buses for free. And you can kind of see the development of that. It's up, and they have the solar panels on there. And I believe the anticipated time for when it's completed is sometime in October. So here in the next couple of months, I sure wish we were generating that energy right now. This would be a prime week for generating energy from the sun. We would be probably overproducing and pushing some wattage back to the grid, but that's not happening because the construction isn't quite done. But
it'll be hot again. Don't you worry.
It will.
Don't you worry. There'll be plenty of it. Dr. Jeff Hoswald is our guest. This is part of the bonding you were talking about at your last meeting. Is this correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
The new electric buses. What else is in that bond? I know there was a couple bucks in there, here and there.
Yeah, a lot of, again, continued HVAC improvements.
we'll know this week, that's for sure.
Well, we'll know, yeah. When one of those goes down, you just you just know the cost of that is going to be tremendous. We also have some money in there for the HT building. Of course, we're renovating that into a family resource center. Right now, we just have these little spaces where it spreads throughout our community. So if someone's new to the community, let's say they're coming here, for example, on a work visa for IU, I mean, they may have to go to 5, 6, 7, 8 places. You know, that's registering for pre-K, registering for school. That's English learner testing. That's adult education. And other things similar. And so we're really trying to condense that all into one spot, really, as a family resource center, and also a building that's more easily accessible. Of course, getting to Broadview isn't the easiest thing in the world in terms of transportation logistics, especially for our families that are new to town that may not have their own transportation. So a lot of benefits to that. So there's some funds in there for that. We're also doing some little improvement projects. Roofing, of course, you know, roofs, if they last 25 years and you have 25 buildings, even Mike, I think you can do that math, right? So, you know, there's roofing needs every year, and those are always in seven digits. So there's roofing repairs and just really the maintenance of our buildings. Putting in a new playground at Templeton, the playground is definitely weathered and worn, and want to clean that facility up, and just some other small projects. Of course, there's always carpeting and things like that. So it all
ends never
up.
Ends.
The great thing
is
it never ends. But we're doing this at the same time in which we're making actually lowering our debt rate for debt services, which we pay for a lot of this bonding money. So we're going to see an overall net decrease in that, so that if the referendum passes in November, like we said, the total tax impact will be $50 for the average homeowner with a home value of $250,000 in AV, so after deduction. So again, we're really trying to be very conservative with our money and really put the money towards people and programs as much as possible.
A former middle school volleyball coach, Dr. Jeff Hoswald, checking in with us here on
Heaven help us. Cordon Central Junior High School. That's
well. That was going to be my next question. You're ahead of the curve.
I think it was Cordon Junior High School. I don't even know the name. I think Central wasn't the high school name, but it was Cordon Junior High.
Well, down there in the South, you didn't have air conditioning. Gee whiz, that's tough. That is tough. Okay, our friends at the Indiana Department of Education, they have released their iRead 3 results. What do we look at? How do we look at this from a corporation standpoint? And what should I glean from this as a parent of a third grader at the time?
So I think what you should glean is that, first of all, we are still seeing lingering effects from the pandemic, right? I mean, we know that not only was there major disruptions in 2021, but, you know, our students are transitioning back, and we are definitely seeing the lingering effects of that. Of course, we are aware that our iRead scores are higher than the state average, and, you know, we are definitely pleased with that, but we're not resting on that. We want to make sure and continue to see growth. This year, our rate really increased. Compared to the state, we're above the state, but we really are still seeing approximately an 8.5% pass rate. This year, we are about 82.5%. And, you know, we were at one point pre-COVID at around 91.5%, 92%. So, you know, the point is, I do believe that as the state has embarked upon a tremendous conversation about literacy and the science of reading, and MCCSE has already implemented that, but that's just giving us additional urgency to make sure that that really good core framework of research, those sound practices, phonics and the writing, communication, and all those skill sets are embedded within that two-hour block every day. We're real proud. Some of our schools saw significant gains. I'll do a shout-out to Unionville. They had 100% pass rate. Some of our schools saw significant increases. So we continue over the last 3 years. We've seen our rate really kind of flatline there in the low 80%, between really 82 and 85%. And so we are continuing to have strategies of how we're going to get that rate up back to pre-COVID levels. But with the knowledge that, you know, one of the biggest impacts one of the biggest effect sizes that we notice in terms of third grade reading is having students ready learn when they enter kindergarten. And, you know, one of the best ways to do that is through early childhood education.
There's your referendum.
Well, we do have students that are tested last year that went through went through the heart of the pandemic at ages 4, 5, and 6. And that was really that crucial time for setting the stage to get students at reading level by third grade. So we can't, we just might as well be honest with ourselves that there's a lot of correlations with the pandemic's impact for our young primary age students right now. And there's a lot of ways out of that. The science of reading, intentional focuses of our staff on tiered support for all of our students, particularly our primary age students, and then, of course, having a community conversation to make sure that all of our students have access 1 or 2 years based on poverty, early childhood education. We are really trying to target underserved and unserved students in early childhood education. And when we do that now, at the local community level for MCCSC, we'll definitely see a direct correlation with increased scores in the next 3 to 4 years when those students matriculate up to third grade. So it's the right thing to do. And again, for $50, I think it's the best investment we can make.
Dr. Jeff Oswald is the superintendent of the MCCSC. He joins us on the fourth Tuesday of most months because that's the night of the school board meeting. We'll get to your agenda quickly a couple other things I want to make sure we don't. While we're educating students, we're also going to educate parents, and Parent University is coming up this Saturday.
That's right. Our first parent university is this Saturday at the CoLab. The information is on our website, but we get community feedback frequently about topics, everything. This one is preparing for college and beyond and careers. Of course, there's lots of topics that come up on a regular basis, and it's just been a very, very successful program. We have, again, more information on our website about that. But we have topics throughout the year. Sometimes it's cybersecurity. Sometimes it's smoking cessation. Sometimes it's saving for a 529. Sometimes it's bullying. There's just lots of topics, but we're kicking it off this year. And, again, those are just really successful programs, and we're proud of them.
And parents can get involved. It is for you, the parent. That's why they have them on Saturday.
Free.
And it's free.
That's right. And sometimes they're in the evenings. This one's on a Saturday, but they are free. And you can, again, mccsc.com, and there's information right there on our website under the academic tab.
Yeah, and you can go back and watch previous episodes as well, so you never miss anything. And coming up, this Friday, not next Friday, but the Friday afterwards, I want to make sure that everybody has this on their calendar, pass it along to friends and family and everybody else. The MCCSC Job Fair is coming up on Friday, September 8th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's also at the CoLab at Miller Drive. And you've got plenty of opportunities, full-time or part-time, correct? Whatever fits your schedule?
That's right. There are a ton of opportunities. All of our various departments will be there, everything from certified teaching positions, if someone has the proper degree or wants to have a conversation about how we can help you become a teacher. But then, of course, there's paraprofessionals. We have a really powerful Grow Your Own program. People can start if they have a college degree or they're close, or they want a college degree. We'll help them. They can serve as a paraprofessional while we help them get their teaching license. Then, of course, the food services department, the transportation department, maintenance, paraprofessionals, office professionals, just all of those, the positions and the people that are directors of those various departments are there available to answer questions. And with the most recent referendum, our starting hourly rates are $15.50. That's minimum, and it goes up pretty quickly from there. So we've really made our wages much more competitive. It's a great place to work. We have part-time positions that have benefits. All of our full-time positions are fully benefited. That comes with, of course, access to health insurance, a 401A, 403B matched savings plan, as well as other state retirement systems associated with the teacher and the employee pension fund. So just a lot of great benefits. So we encourage people to come over and check it out on September 7th at the CoLab.
September 8th at the CoLab. Let me help you. Let me help you. It's a Friday. Get your weekend off to a great start. North and south that night, too. Hopefully it won't be 118 degrees. Board meeting tonight. Fourth Tuesday of August. The CoLab is busy again tonight. 553 East Miller Drive. What's on your agenda? Any big stuff that we need to pay attention to, or just a little housekeeping?
One question you said I could ask you is, when you come to the North-South game, which side of the bleachers are you going to sit on?
Well, I sit in the press box. Come on. Let's not be silly now. That's not
No matter which side it's at, huh?
You need to answer that question. You're the one that needs to keep the civility here in the
I just walk in a circle around the track wearing my I Love MCCSC t-shirt.
Oh, that's pretty smart to do, I bet you.
I cheer for all the – it's the one game I root for a tie.
Yep, I don't blame you. And it's always a tasty one here in town with a big crowd. But you know what they've done to us, right? You know what's going on here. Maybe you don't, because you're too busy running the school corporation. Indiana University is going to play Indiana State that night, 7 o'clock at Memorial Stadium. Do you not have enough money? Does the college football world not have enough money? Now, you're making people choose, and of course you're going to choose high school. That's easy. It's not even close.
So.
But you know what stinks?
So.
It's north and south here. Guess what's going on at Terre Haute? Terre Haute North versus Terre Haute South. So those everybody's.
I will tell you that, of course, I'm going to take the side of high school, but Friday nights have always been reserved.
It's not even close.
It's close. I'm not a fan when colleges step into that turf. It affects a lot of things, and I understand that it's
all about the money. I'll say it.
It's all about money, but I will tell you that in making sure we continue to have. Feeder systems and good youth football programs. I think there's some adverse. There will be some adverse consequences from those types of things in the future.
Why don't they kick some money down to all of you that have? It's a whole thing. If you're going to have money, don't keep it all for yourself. If you want every day of the week, you need to share. You need to be a little kinder.
Maybe the profit sharing, or we can just pass a referendum. That'll help.
Well, let's just do that. You're right. I know that's on the scoreboard as well. But tonight, any other big issues we are following? Tell me what's on your agenda this evening that we should be paying attention to.
So we are doing another review of our 2024 budget. That's an annual process, and we'll be approving the budget in the next few months. And with that, we talk about basically the budget for our education fund. Of course, our debt service fund, I talked about how we're lowering that by 3 to 4 percentage points. Our pension debt, which we're lowering, our operations fund that we use to fund our bus drivers and a lot of our support staff, our anticipated 2024 budget is $176 million. So we'll be explaining that in the categories and exactly how that money goes to benefit education in our community and ultimately long-term to have lasting positive impacts on our community as a whole.
Well, I think that will all take place tonight at 553 East Miller Drive, the MCCSC CoLab, the once-a-month meeting for the MCCSC School Board. And you can go online, mccsc.edu/board meeting, to watch it from the comfort of wherever your internet takes you, or you may be a in-person supporter tonight. Well, stay cool, my friend. I appreciate the insight on everything. The next time I speak to you, we will have passed through the Labor Day weekend. We will have passed North and South, and we will be just on the verge of October. Boy, that sounds odd, but it's true.
That's right.
It's a long time,
buddy.
It's a long time. If you need to come back before then, the door's always open.
I'm always open for a conversation. I enjoy it. So
in the old days, before rally scoring, side out, side out, side out, side out, side out, side out. And here we are 25 minutes later, and it's 1-0.
Here's my argument against rally scoring.
Oh, I want to hear it.
The defense always could prevent a win, and I can't stand it. I do think if you're going to keep rally scoring, the final something – has to be scored with offense. I just can't stand it when someone's trying to be aggressive on a serve. They hit the net, it doesn't quite go over, and they lose the game. Like, you should never win a game by the other team, not getting the ball over the net. That's what I always liked about before rally scoring is that the defense could, no matter how far you were down. And now when you get down 10 points, you look up there and you're like, well, there's no way, because basically
trade points.
You can't trade points, and I do struggle with it. So it doesn't mean I don't love volleyball, but I kind of was a fan of not having Ronnie scoring. But, you know.
I was going to invite you tonight, but you
move on.
You seem to have other important things to do. So yeah, we'll take a – well, tomorrow night they play at home. Back-to-back nights. Bachelor Gym will be hot. I got good air conditioning.
Maybe. It's down there in the basement. It's always cool.
Below sea level.
It is. Yeah.
Thanks.
All right.
Good talking to you.
Hey, Mike, you do such great things for the community. Definitely appreciate it, and I always appreciate the opportunity to celebrate all the great things at MCCSC.
I appreciate your extended time that fourth Tuesday of each month. And, again, don't be a stranger if anything pops up.
All right. Will do.
Thanks, buddy. Jeff Hauswald, the doctor, the superintendent of the MCCSC, joins us every fourth Tuesday, well, of most months, to preview the Board of Trustees meeting and get us an update of what's happening in the corporation.